Pine beetle infestations are as old as pine forests, but about 15 years ago, pine beetle infestations started taking a heavy toll in the Cariboo. Years of drought were followed by years of strangely warm winters, and pine-killing beetle outbreaks began to sweep across the countryside. In 2004 alone, the pine beetle killed trees in an area the size of Ireland. The response of the provincial government has been to allow forest companies to log more trees than ever and pay nominal amounts for the wood. Ben Parfit is a resource policy analyst with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. His report on the actions needed to battle the infestation was published by the CCPA this summer. Ben Parfit joins me by phone this morning from Victoria. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning.
So why is the pine beetle infestation so bad? Is it just because of the weather?
Well, it is definitely being exacerbated by what has generally been warmer and drier weather over the last many years. One of the ways that nature normally brings the beetle under control is with severe cold snaps in the winter, and that kind of phenomenon has not been happening much in recent years. The other factor, though, which is very significant, is that over the course of the last several decades, British Columbia, like other jurisdictions in North America and around the world, has been hell-bent on fighting fires. And we have a situation now where, as a result of our forest firefighting activities, we actually have a lot more pine trees, older pine trees, on the landscape than we did a century ago. And it may seem counterintuitive to listeners, but more trees of a particular age and species is not always a good thing. And in this case, we're seeing a preponderance of pine on the landscape, which is providing the beetles a feedstock, if you will, which is really exacerbating the problem. So when you take the warming trend overall and you take the preponderance of older trees on the landscape, you're creating conditions which are very, very conducive to the kind of widespread infestation that we see today.
And how much of the province's forest land could potentially be affected by the beetles?
Well, about one in four of all the trees in the province are lodgepole pine trees. And the lodgepole pine is an interior tree species. Many people think of it as a tree species that is found in sort of uniform forests, in other words, forests that are dominated by one tree species. And that is true for many pine forests in the province, particularly on the Chilcotin Plateau in the central interior. But pine trees also are found in what we call mixed forests, which would contain trees of different species. So we're seeing outbreaks where, you know, entire valleys are turning red because they're filled with pine trees. And then in other areas, you'll see spot outbreaks of red. For the listeners who don't know, after the first year of attack, the needles on the trees turn red, and for about a year or so, they remain red before they fall off. So you can visually sort of catalog the spread, if you will, by doing aerial surveys. And what we're finding is that there has been a dramatic spread of this outbreak over in the central interior itself, but also spot outbreaks that have been occurring all over the province. So we have a very, very wide area of forest that has been attacked, and that's the other thing that is of concern, because even if we were to get a cold snap, let's say this winter, we're not going to get a cold snap that is going to occur simultaneously over the entire area that is now affected. So the natural ability to bring this infestation under control is pretty well out of the question now.
I said in my introduction that the provincial government is allowing the companies to log more trees in response to the attack. How much more logging is happening?
Well, there has been two very significant increases in logging rates approved by the provincial government in order to salvage beetle attack trees. Salvage is the word that the provincial government uses and industry uses to describe what they're doing. The two increases alone amount to about 11 million cubic meters of timber per year. Each cubic meter would be the equivalent of your sort of average wooden telephone pole. I did a sort of rough and dirty calculation, and based on that sort of elevated rate of logging being maintained over the next 5 years, bearing in mind that there's already been 2 to 3 years of salvage logging already, you could basically crisscross Canada about four to five times with logging trucks lined bumper to bumper, and that would be the equivalent of the amount of wood that's going to be removed over and above what is normally logged over that period of time.
Why is this the approach that the government has adopted then?
Well, I think simply put that the feeling is that if they don't go in and log those dead trees now while they have commercial value, that the trees will lose their commercial value and simply be sitting on the landscape dead and unavailable for commercial use. So the idea very simply is to get as much of that timber out as possible now and at least cash in on its value now rather than losing that value down the road. And that's an understandable approach, but of course there are very, very significant social, economic, and environmental implications in doing so, because obviously, you know, any plans that you have to have a sort of sustainable forestry enterprise where you're in essence cutting the same amount of trees every year in perpetuity gets thrown out the window when you jack up the rates to the degree that they're being jacked up. And so we know that as a result of all of this added logging activity plus what was an unsustainable rate of logging to begin with, we're going to see very, very, very dramatic declines in logging rates probably in the next 10 years, you know, by an order of magnitude of 80% in some cases. And this is going to have tremendous implications for resource-dependent communities throughout the interior.
Are the companies that are doing the logging paying full value for the wood that they're taking?
Well, this is always a difficult question to answer. We do know that at this point in time, fully a third of the wood that is coming out from many of the beetle-attacked areas is coming out at 25 cents a cubic meter. 25 cents a cubic meter is the lowest stumpage rate that you can have. Well, actually, there is one lower, and that's zero. So there is a lot of wood coming out at a very nominal rate. And the government itself, provincial government itself, has been looking at reassessing its grading system, which in essence determines the value of the wood. And as a result of that, there could be changes in the stumpage fees that are charged. Certainly there are many people that feel that the nominal rate, which has been in effect for decades, needs to be revisited, particularly in light of the fact that companies like Canfor and West Fraser, which are, you know, the two major players in the interior today, recorded their highest net profits in corporate history last year, and I think it's not a stretch to say that some of those profits came on the backs of the beetle and the fairly low stumpage rates that were being paid for that wood.
Do the forestry companies then have a responsibility to replant those lands that they're logging so fast?
Yes, they do, and that's a very important thing, I think, for the listeners to understand. It's companies are obligated for every block of timber that they log to reforest those lands. They actually have two options open to them in terms of reforesting. They can send planting crews in immediately, or they can wait for a period of time and see whether the lands naturally reseed with trees. But at the end of the day, 5, 6, 7 years out from logging, they have to be able to demonstrate that the lands that they logged have reforested. The big, big challenge is that the known and projected scope of this outbreak is such that we're going to have a massive area of forest land left over that will not be salvage logged, that will be filled with dead pine trees, and that, you know, could be contributing to logging in the future, but that will never happen unless those lands are somehow rehabilitated. And one of the things that I concluded in the report that I recently wrote for the CCPA is that the provincial government, which is ultimately the land owner, really needs to step up to the plate and make a serious commitment on the reforestation side. The other thing that I think is critically important is that we have to understand that a sort of philosophy of going in and logging an area and then replanting that area back to one tree species is not a good thing. In fact, what we're seeing with this outbreak right now is there's such a huge preponderance of beetles right now that forest plantations as young as 30 years of age have been attacked. So the plantations themselves are becoming susceptible to attack. And the thing that I think we have to be really concerned about is the planting records in the province show that over the last decade, we've been planting a lot more pine trees than we've been logging. So areas of mixed forest were cleared, and rather than being planted back to a mixture of tree species, they were planted back entirely to pine. So what we're doing in our approach with industrial forestry in some cases is to actually encourage the spread of monocultures. And the end result is that we may very well be setting ourselves up for future outbreaks that could be just as catastrophic as the one we're witnessing today.
And what will happen to the BC economy if the lands aren't properly replanted?
Well, obviously, you know, if the choice is made, and I mean, this is all about choices. If the choice is made to not make investments in a portion of the land base that has been attacked and has not been logged by the industry, then, you know, the outcome could be that those lands are really not available for logging. And I want to make it very clear that I'm not saying in this report that we should be replanting every area attacked by the beetle. I think we need to be thinking very, very carefully here about doing a range of things that encourage greater biological diversity as well. So we need to be looking at ways to reintroduce fires into these landscapes. We need to be thinking much more carefully about how we create more of a patchwork or mosaic on the land base that is less susceptible to the kinds of attacks we're seeing today. But ultimately, you know, to get back to your question, if we fail to make investments, then the implications are that there will be less of a healthy sort of timber base there, if you will, for future generations to benefit from. And so that's why we have to think through very carefully about whether we make investments today to benefit people down the road.
You're arguing that the province should spend $118 million per year for the next 5 years. How are you suggesting that that money be spent?
Well, we're saying about $100 million a year should be spent on reforestation and restoration activities, and so tree planting and restoration. Now, restoration could take the form of deliberately setting fires and clearing areas. So about $100 million on replanting and use of fires, and another $18 to $20 million or so spent on what we're calling intensive silviculture or reforestation. So going into areas and thinning the trees, for instance, which can provide both some wood for use today, but also opens the forests up. And opening forests up actually does two things. One, it makes them somewhat less susceptible to beetle attacks. And the second thing it does is that it allows the remaining trees that have not been thinned out to grow faster because there's more light exposure. And we're saying, you know, given the magnitude of what we're looking at here, this recommended spending is a bare minimum given the scale of the attack. And I think if you look at the sort of historic reforestation record in the province, there have been periods of time not too long ago where the provincial and federal governments were partnering on very significant reforestation programs in the province. And clearly, given the magnitude of the outbreak, which is currently underway and is far from over, I think it's fair to say that an investment of the kind being recommended is more than warranted.
Has the government responded at all to your report?
The government has responded by saying that they don't believe that we should just be throwing money at problems. I'm in complete agreement that we need to think very carefully about where we put public dollars and why we put them there. But what I find curious in the government's sort of quick and somewhat knee-jerk response to this is that the government itself has said that we're going to need $1 billion or so to deal with this problem. The difference between what I'm saying and what the provincial government is saying in response is that the provincial government somehow thinks it's the responsibility of the federal government to be ponying up a lot of money here. The federal government already has contributed $100 million to this problem, and they're in the midst of a five-year, $40 million research program, all of which is being shared with the provincial government. The provincial government is the landlord here, not the federal government. So it really behooves the provincial government to be demonstrating that it is prepared to make a significant investment before it can really go cap in hand to Ottawa, and defensively ask for further funds.
Well, thank you very much, Ben, for talking with us this morning.
Thank you very much for having me.
I've been speaking with Ben Parfitt, resource policy analyst with the Canadian Centre for Policy Alternatives. His report was published in July, and you can find it on their website, which is policyalternatives.ca. It's titled Battling the Beetle, Taking Action to Restore British Columbia's Interior Forests. You're listening to Red Eye on Vancouver Cooperative Radio, CFRO 102.7 FM.